Great. Welcome, welcome everyone this morning. I am so excited that you could join me this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. God is a good God. He has allowed you to see yet another day. And today we are grateful for his goodness and his faithfulness. And I want us to get into the word this morning. He's going to speak to you. I wonder if you are ready to hear from the Lord today. I am ready to hear from the Lord. Why don't you join with me and let's pray for the word. Let's pray for revelation knowledge. Let's pray for understanding. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for allowing us again to come together in this manner. We thank you, Father, that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. This morning I pray for my friends. I pray that you'd speak to them, Lord. Speak to me as well today, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that abounds forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Awesome. Thank you for coming again and joining us this morning. We are continuing on a powerful series entitled In the Waiting. In the Waiting. And today we are going through into the third part of this series. Those who joined us in the past 2 weeks, I'm sure the Lord ministered to you, the Lord blessed you, and I'm sure today he will do the same. Glory be to God. So we are getting information and insights in how to become victorious as we wait for the Lord to come through for us in any situation of our lives. And let us go to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward.'" What a statement that the Lord just opened up with in this vision with his servant Abram. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." I believe that that's a safe statement for somebody this morning who needs to be assured that the Lord is your great reward. Hallelujah. Verse 2, "And Abraham said, 'Lord, Lord God, what will you give me, since I am going childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'Behold, you have given no seed to me. And behold, one born in my house is my heir.'" Verse 4, "And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your seed be.' And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, exactly 10 years ago to the month, 10 years ago to the month, my family and I relocated from the beautiful Cape Town. It was awesome. It was great to be in Cape Town. We had stayed in Cape Town for 10 years. And I really loved my time in Cape Town because it was really my formative years, both for my career and for my ministry. I saw God building me and making me into the man that I am today. It all happened in the mother city. Now, we stayed in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. You know, there are northern suburbs and there are southern suburbs. And we were staying in a suburb called Tokai. And we loved it there. And just a couple of blocks and just down the road from us, there were the Muizenberg beaches, the beautiful beaches of Muizenberg. And though we never had too much time to go to the beach, but from time to time, we would go. And as you would walk down the streets, in the main streets of Muizenberg, you'd be amazed by the artifacts that you'd find displayed along these streets. And one of the artifacts that you'd find in one of the main streets in Muizenberg is this huge anchor. Those of you who know, who are fair, who know this area, you know this anchor. It's identifiable. It is so big and you can't miss it. And now, unless you know something about shipping and the like, you would not pay attention to that steel, that piece of bronze. It looks ugly. And yet, that piece of steel called an anchor has got history behind it. That anchor is one of those most important tools you'd find in a water vessel, you'd find in a ship, in a boat, in a yacht, whatever it is. An anchor is one of the most important tools you'd have on board. Now, it's a fascinating piece. And today, I want to talk about something that has to do with an anchor. And so, simply put, the title of my message this morning is Anchored. Anchored. When you are in the waiting, you need to be anchored. You need to be grounded. You need to be sturdy. You need to be focused. And guess what? That is what an anchor would do to a vessel out on the sea. Now, what is an anchor? It is important for us to just look at the purpose and the what an anchor does. You can see here there's a yacht there. It is anchored down. You can see there's an anchor that is embedded in the seabed at the bottom. The question is, what's the use of an anchor to a yacht? What do they use it for? Now, an anchor is simply a device that is normally made out of metal. So you'd find that this bottom part, this part of this anchor, is made out of metal, and it is used to connect a vessel to the bed of a body of water. It is used to connect a vessel to the body of, to the bottom of the sea. For what purposes? To ensure that the craft does not drift due to wind or any currents. So what the anchor does when it is dislodged, when it is released, it goes and it dislodges itself at the bottom of the sea, and it anchors the ship so that the ship doesn't drift. You find that you might not feel the wind blowing, but there's undercurrents under the sea there that would cause a big ship to drift over time. So if you've been on a ship before, you don't feel like you're moving, but you're moving. Before you know it, you're no longer facing north, you're now facing south. What would have happened there? The ship would have drifted. Now, by implication, an anchor, therefore, can be a noun that is used to describe somebody or something that gives support when needed. You've heard people saying, oh, this guy was an anchor for me in my troubled moments. This family was an anchor for me. This church was an anchor for me when I was in trouble. What they're simply saying is that they kept me sturdy when I was afloat. They kept me steady when I was being battered by the waves and the winds of life. They enabled me to remain focused. Saints, this is what an anchor does. And that is why today we are talking about the need for you to remain anchored when you are in the waiting. Because if you are not careful, in the waiting, you'll experience winds. You'll experience turbulence, which will cause you to lose course. Hallelujah. Did somebody hear me this morning? Maybe you are right there already. You feel you have lost your bearings. You look around. Life doesn't look the same way it looked 3-4 months ago. And I'm sure many people in this season are in that place where they look at their lives and they say, it's not the same. The expectations that I had about the future seem to be dashed. I'm no longer looking forward to tomorrow because today has failed me. Today has disappointed me. That is why today I'm saying to you, you need to be anchored. Like a ship out there, you need to be anchored. Now, anchors can either be permanent or temporary. So you'd find that for a ship, for a vessel out there, it comes and it docks into the port. It is going to kept. It's going to be kept there for a night. It uses a temporary anchor. So they release the anchor. It gets launched into the sea and the seabed so that over the night, the ship does not drift out to shore. It remains in the place where it's supposed to be. Now, You know, if you visit V&A, you'd find these walkways on water. I did one of these projects, V&A Juliet, is one of these upmarket apartments in the V&A waterfront. It was one of my first projects. So we built these apartments, and between them, you'd have these walkways that are on the water. So we had to use permanent anchors to ensure that these walkways remain stationed where they're supposed to be stationed. So you have two types of anchors, one that is permanent and one that is temporary. Very, very important. They all serve a purpose to steady a vessel, to steady an attachment to it. Now, different anchors are designed for different seabed. So you'd find that in a seabed where it is predominantly sandy, you'd have a different type of anchor. In a seabed where it is rocky, you need a different type of anchor. So if you use the wrong type of anchor, it doesn't matter what type of seabed you have, your ship will not be stationed because the anchor will not work properly. Does somebody hear me this morning? It is so, so important. Now, what is the point? The point is that every person, I want you to see yourself as a yacht, see yourself as a vessel out on water. Every person in the waiting has got to be anchored. You need to be anchored, otherwise you drift away from your purpose. You drift away from the promise. By the time the promise is released, the promise will not be able to locate you. Hallelujah. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is why it is important for you and I to remain anchored as we wait for the promise. Now, you need to realize that the stability of a ship anchored is determined by the type of the anchor and the sea floor to which it rests. You see, for the ship to stay steady, it's really determined by the type of anchor and then the seabed upon which this anchor has been lodged to attach itself to. And so what am I saying to us this morning? Your ability to remain steady in the waiting is determined by what you are anchored upon. It is determined by what you are anchored upon. You might have released your anchor, but your anchor is lodged on the words of other people. If you are lodged onto the wrong material, you will not be steady through the course of waiting. Many people look at their circumstances, and right now, there is so much negativity in media. I've not been watching a lot of news lately. But whenever you listen to news, you watch news, it is so depressing because there is nothing positive in our cable news network. Now, if you anchor yourself to today's news, you're going to be in turbulence. If you anchor yourself to people's opinions, you're not going to make it out of this season. That is why I'm saying here, your steadiness, you can only remain steady depending on the type of seabed upon which you have lodged your anchor. Very, very important. Now, in the portion of scriptures we have read, we come across Abram. At this point, Abram was 86 years of age. He was a pretty old man. This was now 11 years from the time he left Haran, the time he left his mama and papa. And there he was now in the promised land, 11 years after the fact. My question I have for you this morning is, where would you be in your emotional state 11 years after a promise is released and the promise hasn't yet come? What would be your emotional state? Now, I want you to realize this morning that something might have happened in the 11 years of waiting in the heart of Abram. And now we see God, gracious, loving Father, visiting Abram. We are not told that Abram had prayed to God to visit him. But what we are simply told is, after the fact, the Lord appeared unto Abram in a vision. So God decided to come down and to engage his servant Abram. This morning, I want you to know that you might not have been praying for a visitation, but because God loves you, he is about to visit you, and he will visit you in your moment of shakiness. Yes, It is important for you and I to seek God and say, Lord, appear unto me. But I want you to realize, because of the nature of God, He will not leave you out to dry. He is going to visit you. Right now, the Lord is visiting you with His word, and He's saying to you, don't give up. And now we are told here that God appeared unto Abram. Now, when you look at Abram in his talk to God, God comes and He gives him a profound word. You would find that Abram had resigned. Abram had made a conclusion that there's no baby coming. There's no child of promise coming my way, and he had made peace with it. Now, I want you to realize this morning that during the waiting, it is possible to make peace with the fact that the promise is never going to happen. It is possible to make peace with the fact that the promise was never meant to be. Many people are in that state right now where they have resigned. I want to speak to somebody right now who has stopped praying certain prayers. Because you're saying to yourself, I've been praying for healing for a long time, but this healing is not happening. You're not the first one. Abram, after 11 years of not receiving the promise, he made a conclusion. And you can hear the talk in the spirit of Abraham. Look with me here. The Bible says here, after these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. This is a word for somebody today. The Lord is saying to you, fear not, Sarah. Fear not, Suzanne. Fear not, Peter, because the Lord is saying, I am with you. It doesn't matter where you find yourself right now. You might not sense God, but God is saying, fear not. I want you to know that in the waiting, one of the weapons that the enemy will use to destroy your faith, it is this thing called fear. Fear is when you have an expectation of evil coming upon you. It is the exact opposite of faith. So the enemy will cause you to focus on the 11 years that has gone by without the promise becoming a reality. And then he says to you, it's never going to happen. Forget it. Forget it. But God came down and says, Abram, you've been listening too much to the voice of the enemy. I'm coming down to reassure you. And I'm saying to you, Abraham, fear not, for I am with you. Hallelujah. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I will preserve. I will protect you. I'm not going to leave you alone to be attacked by the enemy. God is saying, I will surround you with favor like a shield. I will put a shield around you. I will put a wall of fire around you. You will make it. You're not going to die here. Hallelujah. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's saying, I am not standing. And I'm saying to you, do not stand in the valley of the shadow of death. You need to walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. What am I talking about this morning? He says here, I am your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me since I am going childless? You see, God was speaking, but Abram was not listening. Do you know that sometimes we hear, but we are not listening? There's a difference between hearing and listening. Many people just hear, they are not paying attention to what God is saying. And right now I'm saying to you, move from just hearing to the point of listening, to comprehend what the Lord is saying in your season of waiting. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now hear. God is saying, I'm your great reward. I'm your shield. Don't be afraid. But then he pops up this thing and says, I hear you, but you haven't given me a child. Since I am going childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given no seed to me. And behold, one born in my house is my heir. He's making a conclusion. He's making a premature conclusion concerning his destiny. And many people are making premature conclusions about the end of their lives. God is saying to Abraham, I will give you a seed. I will give you a child. But in the mind of Abraham, it was too late. This morning, I want you to know, a delay doesn't mean a denial. Maybe God is delaying a little bit for his own reason and purpose. He hasn't denied you that child. Abraham was saying, well, I'll make a plan. This Eliezer will become my heir. He will take over my inheritance. Now, in the waiting, the devil would want us to start rationalizing. He would want us to start rationalizing our situation in order to make us comfortable with living without the promise. The devil will make you comfortable with your pain so that you stop praying because you're now saying, it's my pain. Many people have termed their pain their cross. That is not your cross. It was never designed to be your cross. This morning, I want you to know there is a better tomorrow for you. As long as there is a promise that came from God, there is a better tomorrow for you. Do not allow the enemy to rationalize your situation and to throw away the promise of God for you. Abraham was losing sight of the promise. He was losing sight of the very word of God. Now, this morning, I want you to realize this morning, in order to survive the waiting, you need to be anchored in the word of God. I want to repeat that. In order for you to survive in the waiting, you need to anchor yourself. Load your anchor onto the word of God. Load your anchor onto the sure promises of God. Hallelujah. Many people will give you promises, but they are not good enough to be anchored on. Your friends will promise you things. It is not good enough for you to be anchored on those promises. If you are to survive this waiting time, anchor yourself on the word of God. For the word of God is alive. The word of God is active. The word of God is the material that will develop into that promise that you want. Hallelujah. So in order for you to survive, get anchored into the word of God. You see, when God saw the shaky Abram, he decided to come down and to give him another dosage of his word. I love God because he is saying to you and I, all you need is my word. Nothing else will do. All you need is the word of God, because without being anchored in the word, you will abort the baby during the waiting. Without the sure word of God, you will abort the promise during the waiting. Listen to what God said to Abram. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God looked at Abraham and says, well done, my servant. That is what I wanted you to come back to. What God was doing here, he was causing Abraham to refocus his attention. He was saying to Abraham, don't focus on the number of years that have gone by. Don't focus on other people that are running past you who are having multitude of kids. Focus on the word. God came and gave Abram a reassurance. You see, God has no time to waste by releasing a word that he is not able to fulfill. God has got no time to waste playing games with us. He's a mighty God. He's got many other things to do. So when he speaks to you, I want you to know that God will come through. Hallelujah. You can say at this time, Abraham had lost his anchorage. Abraham had lost his anchorage. The anchor was off and the ship was drifting. The ship was in waters now, in choppy waters. And right now you might be finding yourself in choppy waters and you're feeling it like, something is not right. You need to re-anchor yourself on the very word of God. Do you know that a drifting ship is a danger to itself and to other ship around it? A drifting vessel is bound to run aground. A drifting vessel is bound to hit onto other ship in the vicinity. And so what am I saying to us this morning? When you are not anchored in the word, you are a danger to yourself and to others around you. The moment you start questioning and doubting the essence of the word, the sanctity of the word, whether the word is the infallible word of God or is just something written by people who had too much food to eat at night, the moment you start questioning the integrity of the word of God, you are running in the danger of becoming a danger to yourself and to everybody around you. When you have a father and a mother who have lost sight of the word of God, they become a danger to their family. They can expose their family to many other things. The reason why people resort to all sorts of mechanisms of making it in life, it is because they would have lost focus of what really matters. Listen to me. The word of God is the only secure reference point for someone in the waiting. Without the word of God, you lose your bearings. You become a wandering somebody. You become a shaky and unstable. You are shaken by all sorts of doctrines, of winds of doctrine that comes your way. And this morning, I want you to know, when God spoke to Abram and took him under the open heavens, and he said to him, look up and see the stars, what God was doing was giving Abram a reference point. And whenever Abram would walk outside of his tent in the middle of the night and maybe doubting the word, he only needed to look up to heaven. He would see the stars. He would be reminded of the very promises of God. The word of God is the reference point that you need. It is what will bring you back to order. It is what will bring you back to sanity. It is what will bring you back to a place of being composed in the state of winds around you. It is the word of God. You see, the only thing that sustains us is when we remind ourselves of the very word of God, when we remind ourselves of the prophetic word that was released over our lives. Do you know what the devil wants to do in our lives? He wants you and I to have selective memory. He wants you to remember the number of years that you have gone through without the promise. He does not want you to remember the promise that was given by God. The enemy wants you to remember the pain that you're going through right now. We call it selective memory because the word of God is right there, but he's removing your attention from the word to the surroundings around you. Does somebody hear me today? Now, Abram left Haran because he believed in the promise. At some point, Abram was convinced that God is able to fulfill his word. That is why he packed up his goods and off he go. He went, leaving his family, leaving his country. And now something happened. He started drifting. And I bet a lot of us start well. We believe the promise of God at the beginning. But the longer we wait, we start drifting from the reference point. We start drifting from the very word of God. Now, this morning, I want you to realize all you need is to re-anchor yourself in the word of God. You see, God means it when he gives us a word. God is faithful. God is able to come through and to fulfill his word. Now, when you look at God, you'd realize that God was concerned about the state of the mind of Abram. And he wanted to go back and reset his mind. And when we go back into the word of God, we reset our thought patterns. That is where we experience the renewal of our minds. Now the Bible says, be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the renewal of your mind is a process that happens when we refocus on the word of God. Now, Genesis 15 verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward the sky. Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You see, it is for God to give you the promise. It is for you to continue holding on to the promise. So God gave him a picture. Now, this morning, I want you to realize that, you know, it takes two to tangle, right? Now, when it comes to the promises of God, there are at least two parties to every promise in the Bible. You and the promise giver. There was Abraham and there was God. Each one of them had a part to play in the fulfillment of the promise. I want you to know that God brings the word in, and when he brings the word into your life, it comes along with his nature attached to his word. But what you do with that word determines whether the word will be realized or not. It's not an issue of whether the word has power or not. It's an issue of whether I have the ability to create room and space for the word of God to have its perfect work in my life. So there are two parties to the promise of God, God and you. And whenever God releases his word, you'd have done his part. The rest remains and remains in your hands. The rest is now in your hands to play that ball. Now, in this situation, we have God coming down, uninvited to reassert his word to Abraham, saying to Abraham, my word is for sure. When it comes to the promises of God, it is not so much the promise that is of importance, but it is the nature of the promise giver. It is not so much the promise itself, the words themselves, it is the nature of the promise giver. Now, I want you to realize that when this picture that we have here of God speaking to Abraham, God introduces us to an aspect of his nature. You see, we cannot exhaust the nature of God, but we are able to glean from time to time to an aspect of the nature of God. And in this conversation with Abraham, God exposes an aspect of his nature to Abraham, a nature that I think is so key for those of us who are in the waiting. And one of the aspects of the nature of God that is so key to his promises is his unchanging nature. I want you to realize this morning that the unchanging nature of God makes his promises secure. The unchanging nature of God makes the promises of God sure and secure. God does not change his mind. After making a promise, he will follow through. Glory be to God. The question that we need to always answer is this: whatever I am believing, has it been spoken by God? Has it been spoken by God to me? Can I find it in the word? Because you know what? Because of his nature, if the Lord has spoken it, he will do it. He is not going to go halfway by just giving the word and not following through. I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures that we all know about the nature of God, this unchanging nature of God, which every person in the waiting needs to understand because it is a confident builder. Numbers 23:19, very powerful. Stop reciting that scripture without comprehending what it says. If somebody needs to take that scripture, meditate upon it until it changes the way you think and the way you feel. This is what God says. God is not human. That on its own is faith building. God is not like your father in the natural. God is not like your husband. God is not like your wife. God is not like your boss at work. He is not human that he should lie. It means lying is found in humanity. It cannot be found in God. Not a human being. He says here that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. You see, human beings are fickle. As a pastor, I've come to realize that human beings celebrate you today. They are excited about you, but tomorrow they turn around. Where were the people who were celebrating me yesterday? Where were the people who were calling me Papa Muruti? But today they are no more. They are nowhere to be found. Now here the Bible is telling us that God is not human that he should change his mind. If I give you my word today, there is no guarantee that I will not change my mind tomorrow. It is because I am not God. But if God gives you his word today, there is a guarantee that he will not change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill. I'm talking about the loving God who is able to follow through his word. Glory be to God. When you look at James 1, verse 17, the Bible says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. I want you to know there is no evil found in God. And whatever good you can find here on earth, it can be traced back to our Father in heaven. And whatever evil you can find here on earth, it can be traced back to another source that is not God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shadow or casts a shifting shadow. I want you to realize that he is always the same. He is steady. He is steadfast. Hallelujah. He is the same at all seasons of the year, whether it's winter, whether it's summer, whether it's autumn, whether it's spring, he remains the same. His emotions are not a pendulum. They don't go up and down. You can never come before God and he tells you, sorry, I cannot hear you right now. I'm not in a good mood. That's not the kind of God we serve. Does somebody hear me this morning? He is the same right through the year. He is the same in all ages. There's no change in his character. That is what makes the promises of God something that you can bank on. His mode of being does not change. His purposes and plans do not change. The Bible says the callings of God are without repentance. The gifts of God are without repentance. So when he releases a gift into your life, he doesn't recall it back. It is us who fail to live in line with our callings. Glory be to God. I want you to know that what he was millions of ages before the worlds were made, he is still now. And he will always be. The Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the nature of the promise giver. This is the nature of the one that has promised you life. This is the nature of the one that promised you a business. This is the nature of the one that promised you a child. Hallelujah. He does not change. He is not like shifting shadow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look with me here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He says, for I am Jehovah. My name is I Am. He says, for I am Jehovah. I change not. That's an emphatic statement that somebody needs to get into their spirit man, that God does not change. Do you know what is one of our problems? One of our problems is we have experienced authority figures in our lives that have made promises and tomorrow turn around and never fulfill the promise. Unfortunately, this is more so with the father, with the father figure in our lives. You'd find that if a father has promised and did not come through, it does something to you. It then paints a picture of a father in your mind. And you apply the same picture to Father God. You see Father God through the lenses of your father here on earth. We need to have a shift right there, that our Father in heaven is not the same as our Father here on earth. If your father failed you, if your uncle failed you, if your principal at school failed you, that is not God. Hallelujah. If your mama failed you, if your auntie failed you, that is not God. Can we give God a chance to be God in our lives? This is what I want us to do. To give God a chance to be God in our lives. To take the risk and take him at his word. Hallelujah. He never changes. I change not. And now he says, because of this, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. You get destroyed when you have lived your life hoping that a promise will be fulfilled, only to be told the promise will not be fulfilled. I'm talking about insurance companies now. I'm talking about you have invested money in a certain entity, and then when you think you're reaching a point of maturity, you're told, sorry, there wasn't any money in the account, or it didn't earn any interest. They renege on their promises. But when God gives you a promise, you can bang on it. And God is saying here, because of my nature, you are not destroyed. I want to say this to somebody. Because of the nature of God, you will not be destroyed. Your future is guaranteed. The Bible tells us that I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Because he is a faithful God. Hallelujah. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I will see tomorrow. Glory be to God. The nature of God is what makes the promises of God something we can hold on to with our dear life. Hallelujah. This nature of God is unique to God. It is this unchanging nature that makes him God. Everything else changes on this earth. Everything else is volatile on this earth. There's no guarantee that the US dollar will remain strong tomorrow. It swings up and down. It swings up and down. There's nothing guaranteed except the word of God. When you have the word, you have a guarantee for tomorrow. I want you to realize that whatever changes has an implication, and the implication of change is simply imperfection. I want you to know that change implies imperfection. It changes to that which is either more perfect or less perfect. Now God is perfect. He cannot become more perfect. He cannot become less perfect. That is the nature of God. Now listen to me. An unstable partner to a promise will render any promise unattainable. An unstable partner to a promise will render any promise unattainable. Because of their nature, because of being unsteady, you will find that that promise is a jeopardy. There is a risk factor attached to a promise that has been made by somebody who is unstable. But we thank God that the nature of God makes his promises trustworthy. When you look at the word of God, there are so many testimonies that speak of the nature of God, of how faithful he is. Let me just give you one. In Joshua 21, verse 44, this is when the children of Israel had walked into the promised land. And here is a beautiful, beautiful scripture that tells us that God is faithful. Joshua 21, verse 44. The Bible says, "And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers." The Lord gave them rest on all sides, just as he had sworn to their fathers. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, very powerful. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled. Not one of the good promises failed. And this is the word for us today as a church, that not one of his promises to us will fail. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to know that God's church will not die. God's church will prosper. God's church will prevail. Why? We are sitting on a promise. And the promise giver is able. He is unchanging in his nature. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And you are the church of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Sickness shall not prevail against you. Betrayal shall not prevail against you. Financial trouble shall not prevail against you. Can somebody say amen to that? That's the promise of God. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, this is so, so profound. You see, when God comes in our moment of waiting, he is saying to us, "I'm with you. You might not sense me. You might not feel me, but I am watching over my word." The Bible says he watches over his word, so that his word can become a reality. His word does not come back to him void, but he wants it to fulfill its purpose. So when God came to speak to Abram, he found a man that was not in a state to receive the promises any longer. And that is the state that many of us find ourselves in. We are in a state where we are not prepared to receive the promise any longer. We are disillusioned. But I want you to know, in your state of disillusionment, God is not disillusioned. God is not in a state of confusion. Because he's looking at his word and says, my word is sure, it will come through for you. Glory be to God. So Abram was okay with having his servant as an heir to his inheritance. He was now okay at a second option B. He was saying option A is not going to work. And now God comes and says to thee, this is what God says to Abram in verse 4. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. This one shall not be your heir. This sickness is not the end of your life. This financial trouble is not the end of your life. The Lord is saying to you, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years somewhere else. I want you to know that the Lord is able to redeem the time. The Lord is able to restore the years that you have lost. When you go to Joel chapter 2, talking about the restoration that the Lord can bring in your life, you might have lost money right now. You might have lost a job right now. But the Lord says he will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm have eaten. The Lord will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Some of you are experiencing a season of locusts in your life, a season of cankerworms in your life, but he says, don't give up, because I'll restore to you the years that you'd have lost. Because right now, I'm being real now, you're looking at the number of installments that you have missed, and you're about to lose your car, you're about to lose your house. The Lord is saying to you, it's not time to give up. I will restore to you that which you have lost. And the Bible tells me in Haggai, he says, the glory of the latter house shall be better than the glory of the former house. He's saying, you'll become better when I come and restore you. Let's talk about brother Job. Job lost everything. But after the restoration, the Bible tells us he had double that which he had lost. His skin was like that of a baby. I'm talking about a God who knows how to find you. I'm talking about a God who is able to restore everything that you have lost. Can I get an amen this morning? God is able. So here God is saying, behold, the word of Jehovah came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. This one shall not be your heir. God was not about to argue with Abram. He was not about to reason it out. He just told him what it is. Can you allow God to tell you your reality? Can you allow God to tell you what it is? Hello, somebody. But he says here, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. You see, if God was like some of us, he would have told Abram right there, you do not have faith, and because of that, I'm withdrawing my promise. Abram, I've been telling you, I've just told you now that you will get a child, but you keep on telling me that I haven't given you a son. If God was like me, he would have lost his temper right there and told Abram that you are disqualified, you're not going to see the son anymore. But God, he is a good God. He shows another nature to Abram. He shows him that he is a patient God. This morning, I want you to know that God is patient by nature, and he is patient with you in the waiting. Right now, you might have missed a number of balls. You might have dropped a number of balls. You might have missed the mark in the process, but God is coming back. He is patient. He is slow to anger, and yet he abounds in love. He could have given up on Abram, but he said, no, my promise is bigger than you, Abram. I will not change my nature because of your unbelief. Your unbelief will not change the nature of God. He is called a loving God who abounds in love. Hallelujah. The blessing of God is passed down to thousands of generations. That is the love of God for you. That is the nature of God towards the church. God is patient by nature, and he is patient with you in the waiting. You see, when we have missed the mark in our waiting, we become impatient with ourselves. We quickly give up on ourselves. We give up on our ability to receive the promise. We say we are disqualified. I do not qualify anymore to be a partaker of God's promises because of what I've uttered, because of my thought patterns, because of what I've handled with my hands. But I want you to know, child of God, the Lord is not like you. He is patient. All you need to do is to turn back to him right now. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says the Lord is not slow about his promise. As one count slowness, but is patient towards you. He is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He does not want you to die without the promise. In the same way that he does not want anyone to die without knowing Jesus. That is why he's patient with us right now, giving us opportunities to say yes to the Lord Jesus. So he looks at you and says, I want you to come back. Trust me, believe in me, and I'll do good in your life. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. Are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Abundant in loving kindness and truth. I want you to know God is a faithful God. Nehemiah, talking to the people of God who had come back into Jerusalem, they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This is what he says here. He says here, however, talking to about God, he says, however, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Peoples of the lands. I want you to realize today that God is a faithful God. He wants you to experience his promise. He wants you to experience his goodness. But the question is, do we come back? Are we prepared to come back into a place of being anchored in him? In a place of being found in him? In a place of being established in the Lord God? This was the word I had for you this morning. Next week, we're going to continue on this issue of being anchored. I believe it is so key for you and I to remain anchored in God. And this morning, the Lord is speaking to somebody who has drifted from their course. The Lord is saying to you, come back to me. Come back and I'll embrace you. May you be reminded of the prodigal son who came back to his senses and said, I'm going back to my father. I want you to know that when you choose to go back to God, he will not cast you away. Can I pray for you this morning for a comeback? Can I pray for you this morning for a comeback, for a restoration, for that relationship with the Word, relationship with the promise giver to be restored? Will you stretch your hands as I pray for you right now? Father of glory, I thank you for your people this morning. Many have drifted, especially in these tumultuous time, Lord. Many have drifted. Many have lost focus of you. But I pray for them this morning that a restoration could take place. I pray for a shift in their spirit, man. I pray that they would come back to their senses to trust you again. May they be anchored in you, O God. For you are a loving God. You are abundant in love and in grace. Right now, I speak your hand over their lives. Snatch them, Father, and draw them to where you are, Lord. May they be reconnected with you in this season of waiting. Lord, I thank you that you are a faithful God, and you will do it in this season. And everybody say, Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for watching this morning. May you get anchored this week. Choose to get anchored on the rock, Jesus. And he loves you and he will not let you down. So again, thank you for watching. Share this YouTube channel with your friends, with your family, with your enemy, and they will be blessed. Until we meet again, remain anchored in Jesus. God bless you.